Well, with the government and the farming sector looking to reduce emissions, the race is on to find practical progress on the solutions to old problems. Methane production is a high contributor to New Zealand's greenhouse gas emissions profile, making up 44.5% of emissions in 2018 at the last measurement by Stats NZ. Over three quarters of the methane emitted came from livestock, and 28.5% of that comes from sheep digestion. Fourth generation sheep farmer Leon Black is on a mission to reduce that number drastically. At the family station at Blackdale, outside Aparima, Riverton, at the bottom of South Island, Waipunamu, Leon and his family have been selectively breeding Textra sheep to reduce methane emissions and, importantly, doing it over multiple generations of sheep. So with us from the crisp, gorgeous south, kia ora Leon, welcome to 9 to Noon.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. I'm taking a punt that it's a crisp, gorgeous day.
Actually, it's a pretty decent day. We've had a bit of a rough July, but this is a cracker, so it's a good start today.
Excellent. Ag research scientist Suzanne Rowe has been leading the project and is with us as well. Welcome, Suzanne.
Hello.
Let's have a chat first to you, Leon. What have you been doing with your sheep over time?
Well, we've obviously been breeding studs and performance recording for 53-odd years, and and part of that selection is always looking for traits that are relevant, economic, either make our clients' farming more efficient or easier. And in this case, with the GHG, it's no different. It's about getting a better animal that basically produces less gas, but produces more output. So it's the same as 50 years ago. You know, we are looking for genetics that simply perform better for the current requirements.
So selective breeding, of course, is nothing new, but this is a pretty important trait that you're looking for. How do you go about selecting or identifying a trait in a particular sheep, a particular animal?
Well, obviously that depends on the trait, Catherine, but in this particular case it's a little more tricky, and we rely on the team at Ag Research and previously at the Greenhouse Centre and all their good work first to find out that it's heritable and repeatable, that we can select genetics for it. And that's the first thing. Obviously, no point putting a lot of effort into genetic selection if it's not a genetic trait. So variation and repeatability, heritability are very important. That's been proven by Suzanne and the team. And now it's out, basically it's past the pilot stage. It's now commercial where we can get breeding values that give us an indication of both where we're at and where we can get to. So my selections are pretty much around looking for the same traits I always have, but just adding in another one that has the animals that will have lower methane emissions. So if I have two animals with a similar index, performance type, and one's significantly lower in emissions than the other, and that's where the on-farm trailers and the testing's come about in the last few years, then I'll lean towards that, and the result being my client base will be getting animals that are significantly lower in methane emissions.
You looking for rams with this trait?
Yeah, that's my job. I'm looking for a seed stock genetics, and in my business about 150 flocks, so would get a direct effect from the genetics that I'm producing a year. And obviously, you know, I'm hoping that within 5 to 10 years, we can make a significant difference by me selecting lower emitting sheep, but still with the best performance indexes I can find.
When did you start seriously looking at this?
My history is a little bit different in that I was a director of New Zealand Beef and Lamb, and Mike Peterson put me on the board of Greenhouse Gas Research. So I'm sort of a director who said, why are we spending all this money on vaccines and boluses, which could be years away if we're successful? Could we look at the other alternatives that are more practical to the dry stock, the sheep and beef sector? And so we made some investigations. I was fortunate to have some team guys at Ag Research who were pretty keen to investigate, the John McEwans and the like, and that's where the investigation started. So my track record goes back to 15 years ago on this one, and so it's a little bit different to most. And I still hope that the vaccines or the boluses are going to be proven to be effective, but of course you've got to get both the the acceptance of it, you've got to be able to knock out the methane, and then you have to have international approval on any meat or milk that might have any additives to it that reduce that. So I'm still picking it's 5 or 10 years away, whereas the genetic solution is here and now and available if we just start working on it.
Stay with us, Leon. Let's bring in ag research scientist Suzanne Rowe, who's been working with farmers to reduce methane emissions for 10 years. She's thrilled with these results. So, Suzanne, can you first explain how the testing works and what your collaboration with Leon has been?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been working on a 10-year program, just looking at what the impact might be of breeding for methane, so that we're ahead of the industry, so we can sort of anticipate any problems before they occur. And it's been a very successful program. And the next stage was really to roll the measurement technology out to breeders like Leon, so they had the opportunity to measure their own sheep on their own farms and make breeding decisions. And that's basically what we've done. We have an engineering team here at AgResearch, and they've engineered a trailer that we can measure sheep on farm. So that means we can measure sheep on pasture, which is really, really important for New Zealand systems. So that's what we've done. We've produced this big trailer, and we roll up to farm gateways. We measure 84 sheep that are sort of representative of a breeder's flock per day. And so we'll go up. We'll measure a couple of hundred of the rams. And together with Beef and Lamb New Zealand, we take that information, we convert the gas measure into grams of methane per day, and we rank the animals. And what's really exciting is that every farm that we've been on shows variation, shows that they have high and low emitters. So there's scope there. There's opportunity to actually select individuals that have low methane. And it appears to be genetic, so those sheep can control their digestive processes and the amount of methane that they emit whilst they digest their feed. So it gets passed on to the next generation. So we can use the genetics and the breeding that we've been using for decades. We can use all those systems, but incorporate a new trait that's, you know, that's really important to us at the moment and really important to our emissions profile.
Ironically, it might be a good old mutation, yeah, that's doing this.
Yeah, well,
genetic mutation.
We were sort of hoping it would be one or two pretty large mutations that would be easy to select for, but
not that
life,
simple.
Life is really simple and straightforward. Digesting food is obviously something that's evolved over you know millennia, and it's actually controlled by many, many genes. So we use a lot of DNA markers actually to track the profiles and to produce a ranking. So there doesn't seem to be an easy solution, but breeding has been very successful, and so far, you know, the results from the research flocks and from out in the industry, from the, you know, the lead breeders such as Leon are looking really good.
So what are what's the results you've seen? What are the range of results you've seen when it comes to reduction?
So when we just breed for methane and we ignore everything else, which we've done in a small flock, we have a small flock of selection lines, and we only breed for high methane and low methane and look at the differences. So that's obviously very impractical in anything but a research flock. We're seeing an average of 10% different between the two lines, and we have high rams and low rams that differ by around about 25%. So that's at the sort of real leading edge. So we know that we can push the differences very wide, and we know that we don't see any ill effects on the sheep, so they're productive and they're healthy. In our productive research flock, where we're doing what Leon's doing, we're including methane as well as all our other traits. So we're still breeding for all the things that are important economically, but we're also including methane. That we're seeing around a 2 to 3% difference per year. So we're advancing really quickly in industry. What we're anticipating is that there'll be something like possible a 0.5 to 1% drop in methane emissions per year if it's incorporated into the sort of standard breeding profile that breeders adopt. So it's a It's a steady incremental gain.
Is it each year? Each year, half a percentage
each year.
Each year.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's interesting because, help me out, Leon, the target, I think, for the primary sector now is a further 10% reduction in methane emissions. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the current target is 10% by 2030. So we're looking at, well, let's call it 10 years, but nine. And it depends on both the incentives or the discouragements. There's obviously a lot of talk about, you know, trees and destocking as one way of achieving that. Of course, that leaves a whole lot of people like contractors and insurers and meat workers and the like out of jobs. So let's hope we don't go there. My view is that if breeders take up the challenge and we can press the button like Suzanne is talking about and getting a 2 to 3% on their genetics a year and half that's passed off to my clients, then we could be looking at a 1% reduction every year. And if we do that for 10 years, we're at 10%.
So that two, sorry, we might just, I don't know if you can turn your volume down there, Leon, we're trying to rate it, but if you've got a handy volume button on your machine there, it'll stop the feedback. But what we're, so what you were talking about, the 2 to 3% is where all the other decision making stays the same, right? You can get a very high result if you make this the sole trait that you're breeding for. But if you want to breed for all the other things that make the sheep valuable, you can still achieve 2 to 3% with this selective breeding. So that's, you know, that is significant in the context of trying to chip off another 10% over 10 years. What has been the uptake of farmers, Leon? Because you must have had to go out on a bit of a limb and some investments initially to as proof of concept here. But what's happened as the results have started coming in?
Well, that's the bugbear. At this point in time, there is no requirement by my client base to have animals that are reducing methane. It's something that's coming by 2030 that we've got to get to a certain target. And so there are a few breeders, I'm not sure Suzanne will tell you how many, but certainly a growing number, who realise that we have to get on and get into this now for the benefit of our farming fraternity. It's quite achievable, it's quite doable. It's just making sure you measure the required traits and incorporate into that your selection. So there's not a strong onus and there's a fairly strong investment, both from time. I was 2 days with stock, or actually three by the time I sorted up what was going through the chambers. Further that, we DNA tested everything to make sure we had the right size and dams allocated. And then, of course, there's your own personal time and several thousand dollars in costs. So it's an investment. But again, I'm going to spread that over 150 client flocks, and it'll have an impact on sort of 4 or 5% of the New Zealand sheep flock. So I just think it's the right thing to do.
Can this also feed into the Farmgate measure that I know the industry is trying to develop? Because that's one of the challenges with measuring in the primary sector, is some farmers are way ahead and others are not so. And you don't, if you are just charging any sort of a climate policy price at the producer level, you know, people have invested a lot, aren't seeing that reflected. So this could certainly marry up with moves to get a farm gate measure on emissions, correct?
Yeah, look, to work it really has to. So there has to be a recognition where your genetics of your animals, be it dairy or sheep, because I think the dairy guys are working on genetic solutions as well through LIC. So that has to be recognised in the calculations. So the animals of 2010, for instance, should have a much higher profile than those animals of 2030, if you're using the right genetics, and that should be as part of your total calculation for each on-farm liability.
So this is the point. Each generation is more or less emitting. You can't just come in at the last minute. Each generation that you are producing on-farm should have lower emissions. Is it just this particular breed, the Textra, or does it apply across breeds, Suzanne?
So we've seen variation in every breed that we've looked at.
Okay. Leon, are you also exporting some of these sires that you've been working on?
We've done a lot of export in past years, but at the moment I've been working with an English flock trying to set up a New Zealand farming type system. Obviously the breeders over there are looking at their future out of Brexit, Europe, and the subsidies are being flagged to leave, so they need more efficient sheep, easy lambing, and as part of that, yeah, two of the sires that I used this year are on their way to the UK, which had low methane figures. So hopefully that helps them on their way.
Thanks, both of you, and all the best with it. Leon Black is a farmer at the family station of Blackdale, just outside Aparima, Riverton. And Suzanne Rowe is an ag research scientist who's been working with him and other farmers to reduce methane emissions. She is delighted by the results coming as a result of selective breeding alone.